It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. A little overtime action. Yeah! All right. I just got the different music now, so, you know, womp, womp. Yankees didn't play Frank very often during that World Series. Yo, stop talking about the World Series. We don't talk about World Series that we lost. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on The Fan for a quick 2-hour KM to 2 a.m. You heard? The Giants are effectively tanking. You should be happy about that. You don't have to be happy about the quarterback, but you can't really worry about the quarterback getting hurt. 888-808-1019. There will come a time and place for that soon, right? Inevitably, he could get hurt or they could bench him. But I think you're, as a Giants fan, about to run into a stretch of games where they're going to try and win. They're going to try and win. So we'll start with Daniel Jones, but of course we're going to talk Garrett Cole, Juan Soto, Joe Kelly, but also Malik Nabers. Enough with the, like, Malik Nabers... this, Malik Nabers, that. This is a young guy that is in a situation right now where, I mean, what would you have the young man do? When he's asked questions, he's going to ask them, he's going to answer them honestly. When the guy sees his quarterback that he had last year, his college teammate, what would you have the guy do? Oh, no, I got to play like we're not besties. I got to pretend like I don't know you, bro. No, it was a love fest between Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers at MetLife Stadium. The difference is, Commanders fans aren't mad. Giants fans are mad. 888-808-1019. There's no Commanders fan saying, hey, why did Jaden Daniels run up on Malik Nabers in warmups and grab him, surprise him with his back turned? A little guess who? Because they won the game. Because they're 7-2. Because they got the quarterback. They were dreaming of. They got the quarterback in the draft that arguably is the best player in the draft. And it's kind of funny, right? As I'm talking about the Giants effectively tanking, there's a lot of talk about last year. I wouldn't call that effectively tanking because that year got you Malik Nabers, who now people are questioning his character. You had character questions and concerns about how he would, like, did you watch the offseason Hard Knocks? Brian Daboll asked him straight up, oh, how are you going to handle it if you're not getting the ball? First half, Sunday, Giants were effectively running the ball. He wasn't getting the ball. Daniel Jones had a stat line that was the first time ever in history. He had negative passing yards, 1 touchdown. I said, Daniel Jones will find a way. And then I start sending some tweets out about Daniel Jones finding a way. And again, Giants fans are just mad. Why? Because what I said was, listen, you drive down the field running the ball, taking care of the ball, Tyrone Tracy and Daniel Jones. You get into scoring territory, scoring position. You're on their 29-yard line. It's first down. Protect the football. Don't just blindly flip it to the defense, which it could have been picked. And I know we're going to talk about referees, and don't tell me about officiating because I'm the one that tells you all the time the NFL is bogus. It is the most bogus. Like, there was just a play in the Kansas City Chiefs game where their right tackle, I forget his name, he's known for getting off the line of scrimmage early. They could have called that. They didn't call that. It is bogus. It happens. But, yeah, specifically that play where it was 0-0 in the Giants game, Daniel Jones on first down in scoring position. I don't care if you're down two kickers and you got a rookie kicker. You can get points there. You can get points there, whether it's three or eventually a touchdown. It's first down, yo. You cannot just, oh, I'm getting hit, flip the ball to the defense. He did that in a game prior where he was getting hit and he just threw the ball up for grabs. Sometimes I think, too, as much as we talk about Brian Daboll being a quarterback whisperer and how good he is with quarterbacks, like, why does Daniel Jones still make some of these same mistakes? Is it Daniel Jones or is it Brian Daboll? 888-808-1019. I don't know the answer. But specifically that first play where I said Daniel Jones will find a way, that was a 10-point swing. You could have gone up three. I'm not going to say that the New York field goal Giants were going to punch in a touchdown there. They did later. Man hurts and Daniel Jones running over linebackers. But let's say they would have got three on that drive. Instead, they go minus seven. Bobby Wagner, you guys know what happened in the game. But, like, that's on Daniel Jones. And I have people saying, oh, that's on the line. That's on the line. No, if you want to take it a step further, Daniel Jones knows who he has blocking for him. Daniel Jones knows that they're down to their third guy at left tackle. They signed Chris Hubbard off the 49ers practice squad. Well, let me go to my handy-dandy notebook. What did I read about Chris Hubbard? Oh, so if this is public knowledge, I would assume that Daniel Jones and the Giants know that. He started 58 games in his career. 51 of those were at right tackle, not left tackle. And the way that that formation was set up, it was all, like, everybody was to the right. The strength was to the right. I think they had two tight ends right. So if you know you don't have protection on your backside where you're trying to screen to, and you know you have a left tackle that used to be a right tackle that's new on the team, make sure you know where you're throwing the ball. Don't just feel pressure and let the ball go, because that could have been intercepted. Obviously, it was a big man, couldn't catch the ball, but they didn't blow the play dead. Ends up being a fumble recovery, and the Commanders punch it in. Of course they punch it in. 7-0. That's a 10-point swing. You could have went up three, instead you're down seven. They left points off the board the whole game. I already have a call-up. Giants going for two. Listen, the thing about going for two is you need to have plays that you've practiced over and over and over again, your two-point plays that are in a package. You don't need 10 of them. You really just need like three or four of them. You know what would really help you in that regard? Having Saquon Barkley. Yeah, Saquon Barkley would be a great option to get you 2 yards, whether you're throwing it to him or just letting him run it. How about Saquon? Fly, Eagles, fly. This guy is flying backwards over defenders. I can't believe he's an Eagle. I was looking at him in the Kelly Green jerseys. I was like, why did they do this? What? This did not have to happen. Micah Parsons even speaking out on it. He's calling it the Giants' stupidity. He said the Giants, they didn't appreciate him. Now the rest of the league is facing the consequences of the Giants' stupidity. I have to see if Fleegs can pull up a couple links. I have some audio that I want to play. Speaking of audio I want to play, Joe Kelly, chill, bro. Like, we get it. Enough. You know what? Last week I got on and I told Yankee fans, get over it. We got to get over it. We got to flush this one. The sooner we get over it, we can't get over it. They're not going to allow us to get over it. I have audio from Joe Kelly on the Baseball is Boring podcast. Shout out to Rob Bradford and Baseball is Boring. It's actually an Odyssey podcast. Rob is a radio host up in Boston from WEEI. He actually had me on that podcast back in November of 2022. I say that to say this. It's a heavy Boston-leaning podcast. He writes columns on the Boston Red Sox. They have a lot of guests from the, you know, Boston Red Sox. Joe Kelly, former Boston Red Sox, who is still probably butthurt that Tyler Austin charged the mound, took a swing at him, started a brawl. He hates the Yankees, clearly. He didn't throw a pitch. Why are we letting bench warmers talk like starters, giving them a platform? It was last week in Yankee Stadium where he was talking about, oh, we were just waiting on them to play Yankee defense. Bro, shut up. You don't play. You didn't pitch. They didn't need you to win. Why don't you take the approach like Clayton Kershaw and just drink beers and be happy? 888-808-1019. We can't be happy as Yankee fans, ever. We're never going to live this one down until they win another championship. And I just told you, we don't talk about World Series that we lost. That's about the only thing we've got right now, Yankee fans. That the Met fan can't say, they haven't been to a World Series in 15 years. At least we've been one, you know, 2015. At least we've been to one more recently. Well, at least we erased that. But my response to that was always, we don't talk about the World Series we lost. Why do y'all talk about the World Series you lost in 2015 and not the one in 2000? Anyway, everybody's still talking about it. Mookie Betts sits down with Dave Roberts. And man, I got to play the audio from Dave Roberts instead of me trying to say it verbatim. It's just damning. And it made me realize it's unacceptable. It's unforgivable how the Yankees went out. Brian Cashman spoke today as well about how the Yankees went out. And yeah, he put it on individual defense. Cashman is, he's a piece of work, man. Cashman put it on individual players and their defense. I'll pull up the quotes from that as well. The GM meetings are going on in San Antonio, Texas. So from the GM meetings, you're getting a few things. We'll talk Mets as well. David Stearns did meet with the media. We'll talk about the free agents for the Mets, who they're going to be looking at. And we know. They're going to be looking at Juan Soto. And so are the Yankees. And Andy Martino came out with an interesting hunch, thought. We'll try and cue up the audio from that. But listen, Juan Soto's got to be the first domino to fall. And I had a thought about Juan Soto today because Scott Boras is his agent and so is Gerrit Cole. Bringing it back around here before we go to break. 888-808-1019 if you'd like to speak on anything that I've started with. The days of Scott Boras being this MLB Bond villain, that's what I refer to him as. He seems like this evil villain. Ha 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 ha. I'm going to get $324 million for 9 years. Like, this guy, the days of him getting these long-term contracts and all of this money, they're over. Because basically the league has started to come together against him. To say, no, we're not going to do that. That's why they had all those short-term deals. And even what you saw today, right? I think Scott Boras elected to opt out. And Gerrit Cole was like, Yankee fan today, tomorrow, forever. I've got this mansion in Greenwich, Connecticut. I got two little boys under the age of 5. Like, I'm not going anywhere, guys. And so Cashman said, okay, good. Well, we'll act like this never happened. We don't have to tack on an extra year. Let's just stick with what we've got. Another 4 years for $144 million. Sure thing. Sure thing. But Scott Boras has to do what he has to do as an agent. And Scott Boras has to get Juan Soto signed first so that his other clients, like Pete Alonso, can find a place to play. Gerrit Cole is taken care of. We'll talk all about that. How that went down. I know there were a lot of Yankee fans with agita over the weekend. I think you just, I don't know, needed something to add on to the misery of losing the World Series the way that they did. But there was never a option of Cole leaving. There was never a thought of like, I was talking to one of my homies. He's like, well, actually, now that I think about it, you know, Cole was hurt coming into the season. And I mean, he's 34. I'm like, well, how old is Seth Lugo? How old is Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander and the money they just made? Like, they're like Rich Hill, there's older pitchers in Major League Baseball. Like, they're pitchers. A lot of these guys can pitch till they're 36, 7, 8, 9. And it's Gerrit Cole, bro. I don't know, but maybe we can get Corbin Burns. Maybe, but maybe not. And, like, if you lose Gerrit Cole, who else do you have? Marcus Stroman? Like, speaking of Marcus Stroman, I don't know. They might want to get rid of his bread. Marcus Stroman, I actually use, like, yo, imagine the Yankees win the World Series and Marcus Stroman is the guy doing all the interviews and podcasts talking about opponents. Like, the Guardians? Yeah, our scouting report, we knew we could get to their bullpen. The Royals? Oh, the Royals? Yeah, we knew Bobby Witt Jr. wasn't going to do anything. So, 888-808-1019. Good morning. Good morning. This is a quick one. I'm on till 2 a.m. Plenty to talk about. The Knicks are 500. The Nets are 500. The Devils win 3-0. But I know what the conversation is going to be around. I see the calls coming in. The New York Giants tanking. When are they going to bench Daniel Jones so that the injury clause doesn't? And we'll explain that. Like, we'll talk through that. They're not going to do it. And we'll look at the schedule coming up. You've got a game in Germany. Maybe we'll sneak in a little Jets. I did see they flex the Jets game 2 weeks from now from Sunday Night Football. Smart. They've been on enough. But yeah, if you also want to react to Monday Night Football, the Chiefs staying undefeated, Todd Bowles not really going for it there, and ultimately ending up in the position that a lot of teams end up when they go to Arrowhead and face Andy Reid and Mahomes, they lose. You give them the ball, they're going to go down and score, and that's game. So quick one here. We'll talk about Garrett Cole. We'll talk about Daniel Jones. We'll talk about the Yanks. We'll talk about the Giants. We'll mix in some Mets. We'll mix in some Jets, maybe some Nets. The Brooklyn Nets, not for nothing, before we actually hit the break here. I think Nets fans want to lose, but the Brooklyn Nets are 500. They sweep the Memphis Grizzlies. And when you actually look at these games, like, they have some veterans that don't seem to care about tanking or losing out. And like, I'm good. Win the games. Like, let the chips fall where they may. You don't know what's going to happen by the end of the year. There's plenty of time for the Nets to lose. There's going to be injuries. And I don't know, maybe the Nets just trade away Dennis Schroeder, Dorian Finney-Smith, Cam Johnson, Ben Simmons. Like, they have guys that they could trade away. But it seems like these guys are competing early on and they're winning. And then the Knicks, they lose to the Rockets. I didn't really see that one coming, but the Rockets, I mean, they've got a good coach. They're a young team. Let me see. Who was balling for them? Raz Al Ghul? No, not Raz Al Ghul. It was Alperen Şengün. Yeah, Alperen Şengün. I don't know, man. It's so early in the season. You can't really jump to conclusions, but it is kind of alarming when you look at the box score and you see the Knicks bench only had 3 points from rookie Tyler Kolek. And let me see, 30 points for the Rockets bench. And almost all five of the Rockets starters were in double digits except one. So, yeah, we can react to the Knicks game as well. It's early. They're becoming, and, you got to realize it's super early in the NBA season. We really can't even get any narratives or conversations started there. But, Brunson goes out, has 29. Karl Anthony Towns with 17. How are you Knicks fans feeling about your first little glance at Mikal Bridges so far? We need Giannis. All right, 888-808-1019. Call me up. We're going to talk sports. You guessed it. Keith McPherson on.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The Fan, I'll be right back.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
College basketball is back on. You got the NBA, the NHL. Obviously, we're halfway through the NFL season, and now you got the lukewarm stove, right? Like, Taylor Trammell was traded to the Houston Astros for Cashman considerations. 888-808-1019. I am firing off an email with some audio clips to Fleegs, so we can play some different sounds from, you know, just some things that I gathered on the interwebs today, being a sports fan, where I was like, oh, I got to play that on my show. But thanks for calling my show. Let's get to you on the phone. First is John driving. John, you got it. You're on the fan. What's up, John?
Hey, Keith. Thank you very much. First-time caller.
Thanks.
Like to listen to you. You're not being yelled at, and it's a pleasant to hear sports coming from you.
Yeah, I'm not going to yell at you. It's the middle of the night. I don't really want to raise my voice, and I don't have to yell about the Yankees anymore, so we're good.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Daniel Jones running it in over the two defensive linemen.
That was hype.
Linemen.
Yeah, that was dope.
That was really good. The momentum was going. Everything was going for the Giants in a positive. The two-point play, to me, really deflated the entire stadium. When you should have, I think they should have put the 1 point up on. I know it would have been trouble. They had to make more scores to go, but you know they didn't. They don't get the momentum very often, and they had it then, and they just, to me, they just lost it.
Yeah, that's a big conversation too that I've been hearing people talk about, momentum and just the feeling that you can win. Right, you score a touchdown, yeah, touchdown, and then you go for two, bum 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 bum. It's just like a letdown, like. And that carries
right out of it.
That carries. And there's something to be said about that with the Giants defense, right? Because every time the Giants scored and then they needed a stop, right? They needed the defense to go out there and stop Jaden Daniels and Austin Ekeler, Terry McLaurin. It was like, well, they couldn't do that. Well, maybe it was because they were a little deflated. Like, man, we scored. We're finally scoring touchdowns, but we're getting six. We're not getting seven. We're not getting eight.
I'll put that on a coaching. I'm not going to put that on a quarterback, you know. And whether that discussion has to be made by management, whether to keep it or change it, that's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah.
But I'm in favor of making a change. That's my take on it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, John. 888-808-1019. You know, everybody piles on Daniel Jones, myself included. I honestly don't think at this point in his career he should be doing some of the things that he does still. And I feel like Giants fans have made excuse after excuse after excuse for the guy. And, I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know, I guess you're forced to because you're forced to watch him this much. But PFF NY Giants had him as one of the highest graded Giants in week 9. He graded out as a 91.5. Like, he made some throws. He definitely made some runs. He made some plays. He scored. He kept you in the game, but they find a way to lose. And you know what was weird? Like, the first Commanders game was kind of like that too, right? They found a way to lose. They scored more touchdowns than the Commanders. The Commanders didn't score any touchdowns in the first game. They kicked all field goals and they lost that game. And this game, like I was talking about the point swing, that's my only knock really on Daniel Jones in this first game. Yo, it's 0-0. You're in their territory. You're on the 29-yard line. You can kick a field goal from there. It's first down. You are a veteran. You've got to be smarter with the ball. And I know people want to blame it on Chris Hubbard. Chris Hubbard had his back to the play. Chris Hubbard doesn't touch the ball. The quarterback cannot be so careless with the football. The quarterback cannot just blindly flip the ball. There's no way. Singletary wasn't catching that screen. There's no coaching for that. No one ever taught you to do that. That's a panic move, and you're taking a hit anyway. So why don't you just, like I heard Tiki say, just eat it. Just eat the play. Eat the football. Take the loss. And then you're at the 39 with two other downs to get positive yards before you have to kick the field goal. 888-808-1019. That in itself was an early swing. That in itself, if you think about the game, obviously the Commanders, they won by five and they ended up taking a knee. But there were other opportunities where it's like, if that starts off with a touchdown or that starts off with three, and you're not basically just giving them 7 points, the game has a different feel to it. Bo is out on Long Island. Next up on the Fan, go for it, Bo.
Hey, man, what's up? Yeah, I'm calling because I have a question, and I want to hear your answer, and I'll also give my answer very quick. About Daniel Jones, I don't think he's the guy. I believe in the coaching staff more than I believe in Daniel Jones. So my question is, I think no matter what, he's gone at the end of this season. I think he's gone. I don't think they take his option. Do you move up in the draft and maybe draft Cam Ward, who I like, but I think is a little bit like Anthony Richardson. You know, he makes some great plays, great arm angles.
Not enough experience.
Make a lot of messy plays, too.
Yeah.
Right, not enough experience. So do you do that, or what else do you do? Because I would trade up and go for Cam Ward. But honestly, I mean, we say this every year, this quarterback class isn't the same. I wanted Jaden Daniels last year. I don't really know what you would do right now, but I would keep Shane. I would keep Dable.
And they are. Thanks for the call, Bo. And give me a couple minutes here, and I will lay out my full thoughts on this. And it might get lengthy, but I think there's a lot to take from it. So, like, you're talking about Cam Ward, right? And you made the comparison to Anthony Richardson. What is the problem that Anthony Richardson is having right now on the bench? He didn't get to play in Sunday Night Football. He looks like an inexperienced quarterback. He also looks like he could be Cam Newton. But see, Cam Newton went to UF. Cam Newton went to Blinn College. Cam Newton went to Auburn. You need reps. You know who else went to Auburn? Bo Nix. And then he also went to Oregon. Transferred. Got a lot of starts at the college level. The quarterback position, you need reps. You need reps. You know why you need reps? Because the more reps you take, the more situations you'll be put in, the more nothing can surprise you, the more you'll know what to do when a situation arises. Like a Daniel Jones in year six, like you got to know the protection. You got to know that there's a guy coming off. There's only one guy that could even be on you at that point, right? He beat your left tackle. Don't flip the ball in that direction. Eat the play. Anyway, going back to Cam Ward. Cam Ward is a project and an experiment. I don't think you trade up for him. But I don't know where the Giants are going to be picking. Right now, they would be, if the season ended today, the seventh pick. Newsflash for you folks. They're going to win some games. I remember talking earlier in the season when people were like, they're going to start off 0-6, 0-7. I'm like, no, they're not. Because they're going to be the underdog. And in just the way the NFL is set up, they're going to beat some teams. They beat the Browns. They beat the Seahawks when they were underdogs. Like, there's going to be just any given Sunday, They're gonna out-scheme a team. Somebody's not going to play up to whatever. But here you go now. The Panthers are coming off a big win. But you got to go play them in Germany. I still think the Giants beat the Panthers in Germany. The Buccaneers are without Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. They just took a tough loss for the world to see on Monday Night Football. You probably don't beat them in your building, but you haven't beaten anybody in your building, but you could. Oh, and then here it comes now. I don't even want to say this dirty name on air. How about them Cowboys? Led by Cooper Rush? Dak is not going to be back by the end of this month. Dak just tore his hamstring. At least strained it. And they're not going to rush him back. They're actually talking about playing Trey Lance. I laugh because this is the Jerry Jones experiment gone wrong, and I'm completely detached from that. Like I know some of y'all listening might know my history rooting for the Dallas Cowboys. I froze my account. I'm done with that for now. I don't use, you know, even you have an account at the gym. Like, I used to go over there. I don't go over there anymore, so I'm not really a member. Don't associate me with that. 888-808-1019. But they have some winnable games coming up. The Saints just fired Dennis Allen. That's who they play after the Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, the Jets fired their coach. They're not going to make the playoffs. Saints just fired their coach. They're also not going to make the playoffs. And then when you face the Ravens and the Falcons, you're probably not going to beat them. But they have a stretch here where I think they can win at least two out of four games. And why I'm saying that is because this is a year where there's a lot of garbage, trash can, putrid NFL teams. There's so many teams with two wins right now. There's nine teams with two wins. We're halfway through the season. So when you're talking about tanking, you're tanking with a lot of teams. And let's look at the teams that are around you that have their quarterbacks, right? Two-win teams. The Tennessee Titans. They don't really have a quarterback of the future. Will Levis is not a lock. They could draft somebody. They're 2-6. Miami has Tua. They're 2-6, and they're not going to stay there. Las Vegas, Gardner Minshew, they're 2-7. They're definitely drafting a quarterback. They probably want Shador Sanders. And Deion probably wants Shador to go there. The Cleveland Browns are playing famous Jameis right now. And Jameis comes out talking about, oh, I had LASIK surgery. I couldn't see anything. I thought Bruce Arians was black. Y'all judging me off that one season where I had 30 interceptions. Then the next game he comes out, throws three picks. What say you now, EW? Anyway, Cleveland could potentially draft a quarterback, but they probably won't. They have DTR and, you know, Deshaun Watson. They have so much money tied into that stupid contract. They'll probably try and run him out there again. They're probably not going to use their top pick for a quarterback. So really, you just got one team right now, Vegas and maybe Tennessee. I'll say two teams floating around you with two losses that could be looking for a quarterback. Carolina, they shouldn't draft a quarterback. They did. I mean, they took the wrong guy, but they did that 2 years ago. New Orleans, they should draft a quarterback. If they fire the coach and Derek Carr's got, you know, can't guard Mike Thomas going on Twitter, absolutely dragging him. Yeah, they might need to get a quarterback. But the Jacksonville Jaguars just paid Trevor Lawrence, and Doug Peterson goes back to Philly and takes another L. They're not looking for a quarterback. Neither is New England. We're starting to see what Drake May can be. He's athletic. He can run a bit. He can make some plays. So the Giants need to be worse than the Tennessee Titans, the Las Vegas Raiders, the New Orleans Saints. There's about three teams that you need to be worse than. Find out next time on Dragon Ball Z how that all plays out. 888-808-1019. You have to be at the top. Because beating the Patriots, beating the Commanders, beating the Packers last year, ended up putting you at six. Where I remember having these conversations. I know Big Mac was following up. I remember last year I did a Keith O'Day 5-0 or something. And one of the reasons why I was like, you need to tank, it was like 5-5-5-5, Keith O'Day 5-0. Or Cinco de Quito or whatever. I'm like, one of the reasons that you need to tank is because the Commanders are there in your division, and whether they get Michael Penix Jr., we didn't know at the time, whether they get Bo Nix or Jaden Daniels, you're going to have to face him two times a year. And you know that the Giants, that's another thing, that's the last thing I'll say before I get back to the phones, 888-808-1019. You know that the Giants wanted him. Joe Shane's son was saying, yo, get Jaden Daniels, dad. He was in the Giants facility. They asked him, you want this or not? Want what? Do you want to be the quarterback of the New York Giants? Jaden Daniels knew, you're not going to get the chance to draft me. Sure, I want to be the quarterback of the New York Giants, but I'm going to be facing y'all for the next 10 years as a commander. And I hate it. I hate the fact that I knew it too. Dan Quinn, I told you they weren't going to be a fourth place team in this division. They might be first. But I knew Dan Quinn, new owner, new head coach, guys like Austin Ekeler, Bobby Wagner, added to a team that already has Terry McLaurin, Brian Robinson Jr. You add Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner, it's an immediate change. It's an immediate impact. That kid, he's not pressured enough where like it's tough on him as a rookie. Let me see if I have that stat in my notes too. The Commanders' O-line only allowed five pressures versus the Giants. Jaden Daniels is very slim, but he's not worried about taking hits. He just came off of a rib injury a couple weeks back. He's fine. But when I watch him, he's so poised, and he stands straight up and down, and he sees the field, and when he wants to put the ball somewhere, he puts the ball somewhere. Deontay Banks, there's nothing you could do about it. On your head, too small. Or like a wide-open Zacchaeus, Omalia Deus, whatever the hell that guy's name is. It was with the Eagles last year. Or De'Ami Brown or Noah Brown. They don't even have that many great receivers. But they get open and Jaden Daniels finds him. He's polished and he's ready to go because he played so much college football at Arizona State and Louisiana State. That's the type of guy you want. Even Bo Nix, too. I know the Broncos aren't really that great. He was getting busy on the Ravens, and he's had some games where he's done it with his legs and through the air. Give him some time. These quarterbacks that get a lot of reps in college, they get to the NFL, and it's not too crazy. It's not too big for them. Brian Daboll, I trust, will know what quarterback he wants. He will identify who it is. But you should be picking in the top three to ensure that. Right, you should be picking in the top three because, like, okay, to swap a position with the team that's picking top three and you're six, nah, it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot for the Patriots to come off of a potential Drake May pick. It's going to take a hell of a lot for the Commanders in your division to not get their quarterback of the future. They weren't moving from that spot. There was nothing you could offer them. 888-808-1019. Speaking of offering, I don't know if I... Fleegs, if you get a minute, check your email for the Andy Martino audio. So as much talk has come from the offseason and the way that Juan Soto basically said, I'm open to all 30 MLB teams. I don't know what teams are going after me. And everybody has waited to speculate what he's going to be offered. Some people are saying he wants $700 million to match Shohei, be the highest paid player in the game. I think that's ridiculous. He is not Shohei. He's not half of what Shohei is. He is a right fielder, an average right fielder, and a very above average hitter that's got swag and style and all of that stuff. And sure, a centurion that's going to make any franchise millions upon millions. But still, at the end of the day, he's a right fielder. He's an outfielder. He might get $45 million a year. That's what I was saying all year. No mas. Sorry, Pop. You can't get that ball over your head. You're letting that ball get by you in right field. You're letting that ball drop in the right field in shallow territory. 45 mil a year is all we can do. And you can do the math on whether that's going to be a $13 or $14 million contract. So I don't know what the Yankees are going to offer him, but I also don't know what Steve Cohen is prepared to offer him. There's a rumor out there that Steve Cohen is ready to not be outbid for Juan Soto. We're coming up on it faster than you guys think. Because, again, Juan Soto needs to be the first chip to fall. Fleegs, let's play the clip of Andy Martino. I think he might be out in Texas at the GM meetings, or maybe not. But this is what Andy Martino had to say, and then I'll tell you what I think about it right after we play this. Go for it.
What is Soto specifically looking for in that next contract?
It's not just money, JJ. And look, I want to say at the outset that Juan Soto has done an amazing job, even internally to the Yankees, of really not portraying his deepest inner feelings. The Yankees like him. He likes them. Everyone got along. They thought he was coachable, hardworking, and nice. But I don't think anybody knows exactly what he wants in his heart and what Boris and he are thinking. So anyone who tells you that they know which way this is going, be very, very skeptical. Having said that, it's clear that Juan Soto wants to win. That's available to him most likely with the Yankees or the Mets, so that's not really a separator. And all this sort of easy talk, like, oh, he's just going to go to the highest offer. I don't necessarily see it that way from all the things that I see and hear with him. I think that if the Yankees are close to the highest offer, they'll get him. He's already there. It's already a first-class organization that he experienced with the World Series. His family was into being there. His dad was dancing with the other dads on social media. The bleacher creatures were into him. I don't think the Yankees have to be top, top, top dollar. That's just my hunch from being around it. So that's what it seems to me is money, winning, and being somewhere where he's happy. And clearly the Yankees can give him all those things.
Yeah, so a few things there. One, this is Andy Martino. I think he kind of leans Mets, but I don't know. He just wrote a book called The Yankee Way about, like, Cashman, and he sent it to me. Shout out to Andy for that. I didn't read it. I have a ton of books that I haven't read. I'm reading articles on the internet all day. I'm reading Twitter. I'm reading Instagram. Either way. He also mentioned the family dynamic, right? I was trying to tell y'all last week how much Juan Soto's dad has enjoyed being with the New York Yankees this year, how much Juan Soto's family has enjoyed being a New York Yankee this year, and how I know they treat their players first class, how they just had the clubhouse redone, how these guys get whatever they need or want or could ask for, and that's extended to their extended family. During Game 5, I went to visit Michael Volpe and Isabel, his wife, And I got to be in the friends and family section. First time I ever was in the friends and family section was 2019 or 2018 when I worked at Roc Nation. And CC Sabathia is under Roc Nation. And he sent tickets for myself and three other members of the social digital team to come to a game. And if you know who you're looking for and you know who's a wife or who's a dad or who's a mother, you'll realize when you're in the section, you're surrounded by Yankees. Literally, Yankee family. And the vibe there, game five, I'll never get over this. The vibe, I was with them before the fifth inning. I think I popped in on, the friends and family area around the second, third inning, fourth inning. I might have been over there. I don't really remember. I think it was the third or fourth. But I saw Juan Soto and his family. I saw some of the other players. They were having a great time. I was so happy for them because it was like, we came back from the dead, right? From the doom and gloom to feeling like this is a series. This is going on. And that whole area is a very family-oriented area. Anthony Volpe's grandfather, who he just told the story about, you know, his great-grandfather going to war and his father not knowing him and the way that they got to bond together was through listening to Yankees baseball on the radio. He was over there in this area, and security in that area does a great job of protecting those people and making sure they're good. And like once you're in something like that, people might not understand that that does sway decisions. Of course it does. It could. And so Andy Martino also mentioned the bleacher creatures were into Juan Soto. While, like, first off, we're into all the Yankees. That's the whole thing, right? We're there for the Yankees. We do a roll call. We chant these guys' names to let them know, like, yo, we're going into battle with you. We've got your back. And Juan Soto always gave it up. Juan Soto consistently threw baseballs into the area, showed a lot of love when he came out. Even his roll call salute is dope. The little X that he throws up. Sure. I mean, I think Juan Soto can improve in right field and really master how to play the short porch area in right field in Yankee Stadium. There are not too many other right fields. Like if you, for example, look at Citi Field, the dynamic with the fans and how close to you they are and how you can hear them and interact is not like that in Queens. So I honestly do think that Steve Cohen has to be prepared to offer Juan Soto so much more money than the Yankees. But if the Yankees extend to say, we'll get close to that, I do think that, you know, and I said this before, when I said that there was a leg up, when I said that the Yankees do have some leverage there, it's business at the end of the day. And that young man has been coached and trained, and you could tell by the poker face he had on in you know, the terrible way that the season ended in game five. I would have liked him to be a little bit more reserved with that, but it is what it is. You know, Boris has been preparing him since he was a teenager for that moment, and he executed on that part of it. But I think when it all comes down to it, there are definitely some things that the Yankees can quietly offer that the Mets can't. There are definitely some branding things. And like Martino said, yeah, they're going to win on both sides. They're going to win on both sides. But your legacy in this city changes drastically. Is it really worth $50 million more? I think it would have to be like $100 million more. Who knows? Who knows? 888-808-1019. Matt is in Massapequa on the Fan.
KM, what up, dude?
You know, talking the talk.
How you doing? I called you, it was the second week of April, I think, and I said, sign Juan Soto right now. And you said, because that was when Judge was slumping, Cole was out. I said, this guy, we need to have him. And you said, Soto's for the streets. And I couldn't. Now, looking back, what do you think?
He is for the streets. Like, he can be had.
Oh, come on.
He can be had. But no, but like going to what I said, he's for the streets. But like, he's got a little bit of experience now. That was in April, right? So months have gone by. He got to wear the pinstripes. He got to be a Yankee. He got to go to the World Series with the Yankees. He's for the streets.
Yeah, he was feeling it.
He's for the streets. But if you come with the correct numbers, I think he's got a slight Yankee lean to go back.
Yeah, I mean, any superstar is going to be for the streets because they're trying to get paid any and every offer.
They got to maximize their talent, and I understand it. Get the most money you could get, but like, he's not going to take the highest offer to be a Baltimore Oriole.
Nah, hell no. But let's just say if and when the Yankees sign him, I'm gonna call back and I'm gonna say I told you so. All right.
Yeah, I'm gonna say he was for the streets, but the Yankees wiped him up. Sometimes you can turn to a housewife.
So yeah, that's right.
Sometimes it's possible. Thanks for the call, Matt. 888-808-101. Nah, she's for the streets. Some of y'all might get that, and some of y'all won't. Oh, man. Juan Soto is for the streets, though. He proved that. He proved that at the end of the game. The way that he took that, like, bruh. Someone said something about, like, if George Steinbrenner's around, of course, they always say that. But, like, George Steinbrenner would have ended the press conference and got him up out of the Yankees clubhouse. Like, wait, you're in our building? After you guys folded, you didn't do anything to power us to victory. Did you homer in that game? Did you score any runs? He scored a run. But, like, did you power us to victory and save us from defeat? No. And here you are holding a press conference about how you're open to all 30 MLB teams. Well, get out. But, nah, it's not that kind of vibe. I understand. In the time that we're in, I just told you, Boris is not the Bond villain that he once was. This is Boris's last opportunity to get that mega contract. Juan Soto is young enough and good enough where somebody's going to pay. But like Pete Alonso's not getting that big deal. You know, you just saw today Scott Boris hit the opt-out button and Brian Cashman said, hey, yo, stop that. What are y'all trying to do here? Cole is not leaving. Cole made a whole sign as a kid, Yankee fan, today, tomorrow, forever. This is forever. Gerrit Cole's going to end his career here. So why don't we just act like you didn't, you know, trigger the opt-out. You take this 4 years that's existing. We're not going to tack on another year. You're also not going to hit free agency because we're not going to play that whole game. We're focused on the Juan Soto free agency with you, Scott. So 5 p.m. comes, this is what we're going to do, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, nah, adding the 10th year, let's see. Brendan Cuddy said, Cashman on the Gerrit Cole negotiations. Adding the 10th year wasn't something the Yankees were necessarily comfortable doing. But they wanted our player, they wanted our ace back, and he certainly didn't want to go. He said, maybe the grass isn't always greener. I think he's happy where he's at. I think he likes our setup. I know he likes playing for who he's playing for and working for, and I think he likes his teammates and thinks we have a legitimate chance to win. Cashman is back on one. It was a year ago when Cashman was in Arizona telling people, I think we're pretty effing good. It was a year ago where we learned that the Yankees were not running a third party audit. It was a year ago when Cashman said, getting hurt is part of Giancarlo Stanton's game. Freudian slip, didn't mean it like that, but it rang true this year. Also, hitting postseason homers are part of his game. That's why he got the guy. You know, he's talking about Joey Gallo and Sonny Gray. He even said Gleyber Torres is one of the best second basemen in the league. Gleyber Torres didn't get the qualifying offer today. Juan Soto did. And, you know, I never claimed to be a baseball savant or the smartest baseball guy, and I'm not. I taught myself the game. Dad wasn't around to teach me. Nobody taught me. There were no courses in college for me to go to baseball school one-on-one. I'm still learning the game. But then I see people talking online, and some people don't know things like the Gerrit Cole opt-out and people bugging out about Gerrit Cole opting out. And now even with this, with Juan Soto getting the qualifying offer, some of you got to be nicer. Stop being so mean. My biggest pet peeve about baseball more than any other sport is that there's so many layers to it. No one knows all of the history. No one knows all of the players. No one knows all of the business. Stop treating people like they're lesser than you that want to be fans, that are legitimately fans, like the game. Like, educate somebody. Take the opportunity to speak to someone and say, hey, listen, Juan Soto, right, they're playing the game. Juan Soto made $31 million this year. So, yes, the Yankees extending him a qualifying offer of $21 million. Of course he's not taking that. But that has draft compensation attached to it in the event that he does sign elsewhere. Like, I see people's back and forth, and I'm starting to, this is actually the first year, the World Series did it to me. I'm actually done going back and forth with anonymous people online. I'm done fighting with people in the comments. A wise man told me, don't argue with fools, because people from a distance can't tell who is who. Like, I'm done doing that. But I wish people would just say, listen, Gerrit Cole opting out, we knew they were going to do that. We talked about this during the season. But people thinking Gerrit Cole opted out because of the way that the World Series ended, that had nothing to do with it. If they got swept, he was going to opt out. If they won, he was going to opt out. And I also knew that he was going to be back, because you think Gerrit Cole is going to go out as a Yankee like that? He's now 0-2 in World Series appearances. And he was pitching a hell of a game until things unraveled. I still can't get it out of my head that he didn't cover first. But I just go back to like being in the stadium watching, and they were failing him. Judge failed him. Volpe and Jazz failed him. More so Volpe with the spike of the throw. That, like, he got some strikeouts. He got some outs on his own. And then when that ball gets hit to first, it's almost like, man, pick me up. I got to do it myself. And he didn't take the right angle, and he didn't run the first. And here we are. So 888-808-1019. At least you guys got the Giants. Or do you? More Giants conversation coming up when we get back. I do want to talk more about Malik Nabers. Like, please don't turn on this young man. This is a guy talking about getting it out of the mud with the team. This is a guy that is in his first year. This is a guy that they unretired a number four. He's not Odell Beckham Jr. Please do not turn on this man because he saw his ride or die. He saw his right-hand man. He saw the quarterback that helped get him drafted, that helped make him all that money. And now we're turning on Malik Nabers about how he was talking to Jaden Daniels during the game. So what? 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan with 1 hour left. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.